One woman remembers an incredible gift that her father gave to her when she was a teenager. As a teen, she was plagued by outbreaks of acne. And one day, when she felt unable to leave the house because of anguish over her face, her father led her to the bathroom sink and asked if he could teach her a new way to wash her face. He leaned over the sink, splashed water over his face, telling her, "On the first splash, say, 'In the name of the Father.' On the second splash, say, 'In the name of the Son.' On the third splash, say, 'In the name of the Holy Spirit.' And then look up into the mirror and remember that you are a child of God, full of grace and beauty." As an adult, the woman followed her father's example, and she taught her own daughters baptismal blessings that they could say at bedtime. Now, when I was a teenager, I also had outbreaks of acne. And during the summer between my 8th grade and 9th grade year, my acne went from being bad to really severe. And that same summer, I traveled with a group of Boy Scouts to the World Jamboree in Alberta, Canada. And one morning in the boys' restroom, I was staring at my face in the mirror because it really was a very recent and bad outbreak. And one of the scoutmasters approached me from behind and said, "Staring at it isn't going to make it any better." Technically true, but not a helpful thing to say. I really wish that at that moment someone had taught me a baptismal blessing that I could say. And by the time I was 19, my acne had mostly cleared up, and then my hairline started receding. We often have complicated relationships with our own bodies. The poet Jan Kenyon speaks of our long struggle to be at home in the body, the difficult friendship. The actress Ashley Williams, who you may remember from How I Met Your Mother, talks about her own struggles with her body. And she gave a very moving tribute to exercise and fitness guru Richard Simmons, who died earlier this summer. And she writes, "I first met him in an airport. He was covered in sparkles, and he pranced up to me, a total stranger, and slapped the Diet Coke can out of my hand down to the floor and yelled, 'Get that away from your body.' And like most girls, I've always had a fraught relationship with said body. I've been asked by my employers to lose weight, told that funny girls can't be big, been told my body is hard to dress, yada, yada, yada. But then every Tuesday and Thursday night at Richard Simmons' dance classes, he drilled into me the importance of loving my body above all else. It was only then that I really felt strong enough to have my kids. He taught me to move, to dance, to laugh, to feel good. The health and wellness didn't have to be pretty or hot. It could just be fun. He knew I was weird like him and had a bod that loved to sweat. I watched with respect when he disappeared to take space in 2016. Another critical lesson just as valuable as banishing dieting from my life. I have the box set of Sweating to the Oldies with no DVD player to play them in, but still. I have these pics, a bunch of Tuesday, Thursday night memories, but more than anything, I have a changed relationship with my body. If we want to live happily, we have to love our body, eat healthy food, and move. That's it. That's the key. And when the last two fall apart, as inevitably they will, the first one is always there at the ready, loving the body, and always with a little bit of Simmons sparkle. This is how I will remember him and remain changed forever." And here ends her tribute to Richard Simmons. From a Christian perspective, loving and honoring our body is a spiritual practice. And in some ways that might sound surprising, because how is something bodily also spiritual? But from a biblical perspective, body and spirit are not separate entities. In the creation narratives in Genesis, God creates humans out of the dust and breathes into them the breath of life. There is an essential earthiness to our bodies, and God proclaims them blessed. All the creation is good. And in the gospel accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus, we see that Jesus paid a lot of attention to bodies. He delighted in sharing food and wine with others. He washed the dust-covered feet of his disciples. He noticed when a woman in need of healing had touched the hem of his garment, who came to him for help. Once he made mud using his own saliva to restore a man's sight. And once he encountered a naked man who lived in a cemetery, and Jesus recognized that this man too was made in the image of God, and he drove the demons from the man's body. And in today's gospel story, Jesus allowed himself to become vulnerable enough to have a woman wash his feet and dry them with her hair and anoint him with oil. For many, there's a shocking physicality to this story, and clearly the Pharisees who were present that day were shocked. But Jesus not only allows this scene to transpire, but he praises the woman's hospitality. She not only washed Jesus' feet, which Simon the host had failed to do, but in anointing Jesus' body, she was also blessing a body that was soon to be brutalized and crucified by the Roman authorities. In essence, she was anointing Jesus' body for burial ahead of time. A version of this story can be found in all four Gospels, which gives us a glimpse of just how important this story was for the early church. And it also gives us a glimpse of how important the body was for the early church. I mean, why anoint Jesus' body for burial if the body was unimportant? And Jesus also urged care for the body. When the disciples needed to rest, Jesus took them away to rest for a while, and the rest was only interrupted when a hungry crowd of 5,000 needed feeding, once again attending to people's bodily needs. And Jesus personally prepared breakfast for the disciples after they had spent a long night fishing without catching anything. Taking care of our body's need for nutrition, exercise, and rest is a spiritual practice. And whatever we need to do to our bodies on a daily or weekly basis to care for them is also a part of whatever spiritual disciplines we are trying to do on a daily and weekly basis. They're not separate. They're the same. And the spiritual practice of honoring our bodies also includes how we interact with each other bodily through touch. And I want to emphasize healthy touch, because tragically in the church there have been too many examples of unhealthy touch and abuse. But nonetheless, healthy touch can be truly transformative. A student living alone in Italy for a year shared that she attended Mass every evening in the small town where she lived to worship God not only through word and sacrament, but through touch. Living alone, she often went all day without feeling a human touch. And the ritual moment of passing the peace was the high point of the service for her, because it provided a safe space for her to touch and be touched by other people, even people whom she did not know. When our bodies are physically ill, we often feel even more isolated and deprived of touch. And a man with a terminal illness noticed that as he became sicker, his body first became a stranger and then an enemy to him, a source of nothing but anguish. In the last months of his life, he told his friends in his local church in the north part of Chicago of his own feelings of having been abandoned by his body. And his friends began reading about and training themselves in therapeutic touch. They began to gather regularly in his home to stroke his hands and feet, to touch his skin, to gently offer him a sense of his body as a source of comfort and not of pain alone. And through these sessions of therapeutic touching, he found himself more able to speak freely about his illness and inevitable death, and through the practice of touching his friends, found themselves able to respond with compassion rather than fear, with openness rather than denial. And when their friend died, they found comfort in their grief through the healing touch of one another. And the group of friends then went on to teach others in their church about therapeutic touching and to essentially establish that as a ministry of their church. According to the psalmist, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this ought to shape our attitudes about our bodies and how we care for them. We use our bodies in grateful response to God. We sing our praises. We kneel in prayer. We raise our hands in praise. And as Christians, we use our bodies to praise the God who became embodied in Jesus Christ. In the words of one scholar, the Christian practice of honoring the body requires that we view the world through the lens of Jesus' wounded but resurrected body. Jesus' broken body brings into focus the bodies of the sick and the wounded and the exploited, and Jesus' resurrection shows us the beauty that God intends for all bodies. As we love and suffer, we see God and each other with our bodies. We remember that every body is blessed by God, deserving of protection and care. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.